to Rewatchable, episode 28 of Veronica Mars. We will be discussing today episodes 1 and 2, which is Normal is the Watchword and Driver Ed, and they are both from the second season of Veronica Mars. We've made it. We're in the second season. We're past the huge reveal that was at the end of the first one. So I'm Danielle, and with me is Mitch, Gabrielle, and Caitlin. How you doing, guys?
Good. And I'm getting all the fun new outfits that I wanted. Season 2. It's great. It's exactly what I was looking for.
Yes.
I love when that happens in a different season. Well, I mean, I loved it, but I don't think anyone else really did. There was a certain tie belt that we didn't like a tie around the neck that was wearing
the tie belt. Will come up. I promise.
Tie belt was interesting.
Some questionable sartorial choices.
But how are we feeling at the beginning of season 2? You feeling okay so far?
Is whiplash the proper term?
It's whiplash. It could be a proper term, yeah.
Okay.
Or WTF. There's a lot of WTF going on.
Okay. Well, you'll have to throw that out there when we get to those points. Yeah. Unless it's like the whole thing. Then you can just keep throwing it out as much as I throw out no comments.
It's specific things, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Caitlin, I feel like we're on the same wavelength here with like what was whiplashy.
We'll see.
We'll get there.
We're on the same wavelength with Bro TP, so here we go. Let's see.
All right, here we go. Let's jump in. We will start with, it's logical. We'll start with episode 1. Normal is the Watchword. So basically, this is our first episode back from that huge cliffhanger that happened at the end of season 1. And so we find out that Logan was the one that ended up at Veronica's door. I don't know if that was a huge surprise, but it happened. We find out that Logan got into a fight with the biker gang and someone died. And so that has started a huge war between the classes in Neptune. So tensions are building. We find out Veronica is dated a bunch of people, and by a bunch, I mean two. And so now she's with Duncan. And we also find out that Meg is angry. So that's another big plot point. And finally, at the end of episode 1, the journalism class goes on a trip to the Sharks, which is a Major League Baseball team. They go a trip to their ballpark. And on the way home, the bus, which had a lot of the middle class, maybe lower class kids in it, drives off a cliff and crashes into the water below, killing everybody but Meg.
Conveniently.
Yes.
Very conveniently, actually.
Yeah. So that's what happens in episode 1. It's kind of, I say it was kind of slow until the very end. What would you guys, would you agree with that?
Yeah.
A little bit? Yeah.
Definitely.
I would say it was jam-packed with a lot of different things going on. I don't think it was necessarily slow. I just think the end was so much more intense than everything else in the episode, which were also so intense. The episode kind of overwhelmed me watching it again.
Fair enough. Yeah, there was a lot of information in it that I didn't remember. I mean, I remember all the information, but I didn't remember it being packed as much as it was. So I agree that there was a lot in it. To me, it just felt a little slow. Maybe because I knew it was coming, and so I was kind of waiting for it. I don't know. But let me see. Let's back up to the season finale really quickly, because we didn't discuss one thing that I know quite a few people wanted to hear us discuss a little bit. So we're going to spend a little time on it. And that is our thoughts about Lily at the end of season 1. So I guess how we feel about her now that we've seen everything that happened. So does anybody have different thoughts about Lily?
I know I was the big brigade on Lily isn't all she's cracked up to be. Why do we care about her? I did make a lot of comparisons between Lily and Allie from Pretty Little Liars. So now I'd say that there is some of a distinction, but they still were as deceptive as I thought they both were. And the reason I think that is because Lily stole the tapes, but she wasn't being safe about how she stole them. She was still taunting Aaron when she stole them, which was really weird to me that you would taunt someone that had an obviously sick fetish with filming you. It's just like, oh, I caught you, you weirdo. He's like, oh, yeah? I'm going to hit you over the head and kill you because you taunted me. And I just feel like she wasn't smart, just like Allie wasn't smart in that. They had this stupid confidence, this weird courage that they shouldn't have used in the times that they did, and that's what brought their downfall. So that's my whole shebang over where Lily and Allie are sitting right now, and I don't think Lily's going to change because we've seen the majority of her storyline, I'm assuming, by the end of season one. But Caitlin, your other newbie, how are you feeling about Lily so far?
My opinion of her, I was trying to give her the benefit of the doubt for the most part, and it plummeted in the season finale because of, like, we were talking about, you know, it's really creepy that Aaron was sleeping with Lily. Well, Lily was sleeping with Aaron, who is her boyfriend's father. Yeah. What is wrong with you?
Which is very Allie, honestly.
So I just was like, I can't deal with you because you're sleeping with your boyfriend's father. I don't care that he's famous. He's your boyfriend's father. So that's skeezy.
Mm-hmm. Very good point.
So what I'm getting is that she's not...
They were exes at that point, though, just to point it out.
But still.
So she's not someone that we necessarily, or that you guys necessarily care about at all. She's just kind of part of the plot.
Yeah.
She's
I guess you could say she's a necessary evil.
That's a little mean, but
oh, it's totally not. She's an evil person. She just looks to manipulate and change people for the better, and I just see way too much Allie in her to like her. I think I'm jaded from Allie to ever like a character like Lily.
Right, fair enough.
And I know it's sad because you guys seem to really like her, but I just strongly don't.
I mean, I don't really like her, but I think I might like her better than you. I don't know.
Than this cold-hearted Grinch over here.
I like her better than you. What are you going to say?
I think I like her because the characters... Oh, I was just going to say I think I like her because the characters like her. So it's hard to separate how I feel from how Veronica feels because I identify so strongly with her. So if Veronica hated her, yeah, I'd probably hate her.
Yeah, I think that's closer to how I feel too, I think.
Mm. And I'm Pretty Little Liars, the main characters all don't like their ex-best friend. They say that she's manipulative and mean. And it's funny to me that they only ever talk about Lily's love for guys, but they don't talk about her manipulativeness. They only ever bring down her character when they're talking about her romance. But I don't feel that... Well, maybe we haven't seen the repercussions of the reveal yet, as much as we have in Pretty Little Liars and Allie's post-life, but we haven't seen too much of how the characters are reacting to Lily being with Aaron yet. So maybe their opinions of Lily have also changed, and they'll act more like the Pretty Little Liars characters do toward Allie, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I know to a point I don't know anything about Allie, but yeah, I understand.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you get the general basis, basically. Yeah,
yeah. All right, so let's stop looking back and let's look forward to now the first episode of season two. Right at the very beginning, we get a new intro, which is kind of refreshing because that old journalism teacher is gone. I think she was gone, I think we said halfway through last season.
Yeah, just kind of randomly.
But we also get in the new intro Dick Beaver and and here it says Random Girl, which I'm assuming is Jackie.
We don't see her in this episode.
Gotcha. So we get them in this new intro. Any thoughts, or you kind of excited to see Dick and Beaver around a little bit more?
Blah, go away.
Can Dick and Beaver come out to play? Hopefully not. That's all I was thinking. I was just like, do we have to? Are they important? And I almost want to feel bad for Beaver as we're going along in episodes 1 and 2 of season 2 because he has a doe-eyedness to him, but I won't forgive the way that the things that he let happen at that party to Veronica. That I'm never going to get over that. I really won't.
Yeah.
He was doing it at that party. Beaver was still like, oh, this is wrong. We shouldn't do this, kind of, maybe. He wasn't like really serious like he should have been. He should have said more seriously, I think, or been more forceful with his brother to stop that whole thing from going down. So I still think that Beaver's on the same level as Dick for the things that happened to Veronica, you know, the drugging.
Fair enough. While we're talking about the intro, I think it was you, Mitch. One of our very first episodes.
The drawings next to each character.
Yes. I just wanted to bring it up just to see if you had any other ideas for them, since we went through season one and now we're kind of on season two and they haven't changed. So you kind of just write them off now.
Yeah, I don't really pay attention to them too much anymore because I didn't think the intro changed itself too much. It barely added in anything. Like, there were new scenes, but they still felt the same for every single character. But except for when there were new characters, I was like, oh, like, Dick had a really interesting one that I think is going to lead to something important, because they showed him shooting a gun in that shooting range that we see in 202. And I was like, oh, that might show a future in violence for our good old Dick. And they are kind of putting an emphasis on Dick that I don't understand. So I could see that being a Chekhov's gun of sorts for Dick.
Okay. But yeah, I just wanted to bring up the drawings really fast and just kind of bring things full circle.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, I didn't pay attention too much to the drawings, more to the whatever new clips they did have. And that's the only one that really struck me. Caitlin, did you notice the same thing with Dick shooting the gun?
I honestly didn't pay much attention to the intro at all.
That's funny.
Okay, so let's move on character-wise and discuss Wallace and Meg, kind of in the same breath. They both seem to have, as Gabrielle put, a sassy character development. We see Wallace, he seems to have a bigger personality almost, and he seems to be on Veronica's level more than he ever was in season one. And Meg seems to have changed a lot over the summer. And I know, Mitch, you're a huge fan of Meg.
I still am, but I'm confused for her. I don't know what's going on. I'm just like, hey, girl, like, back off Veronica. She didn't do anything.
I was seeing a lot of Joe in Meg, because Alona Tall, who plays Meg, plays Joe in Supernatural. And as soon as she showed up and started talking, I was like, there's Joe. There she is. Because I've had a really hard time reconciling Meg with Joe. I'm like, nope, there she is, right there.
So is now a good time as any to discuss why in the world Meg would think it's okay to be angry at Veronica? Sure. Is she just jealous? Is she...
Well, girl code.
Girl code? Or bro code?
She was breaking the girl code. That's what Veronica pretty much says.
I think girl code, but at the same time, like, Veronica went out with Duncan first. Not that that makes it any better, but that's true. I just want to point out, I know we were talking about Wallace, but I think I agree with Danielle. He is more on Veronica's level, and I like how they're making him smart, how he's not the office aide anymore, how he's not just her pawn, but rather like her true best friend. And I think that's the natural outcome of her confiding in him last season. So I'm really excited for Wallace. And I mean, his hair is nicer. He's just, he has the best lines in all the episodes, and he's just styling. And you know, watching the first and second episodes of the season made me realize, you know, that Wallace is one of my favorite characters, because I always forget about that until I watch this season.
Yeah, because it felt like in season one, there were so many times that Veronica was taking advantage of him or stepping on him. And now it seems like she can't do that because he has elevated himself to her level. So he's going to stick up for himself and be more even with her. So she's not going to be able to take advantage of him the way she kind of was in season one.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, I feel like they're more like partners in this one rather than like a sidekick.
Yeah. And they make fun of, they lampshade, not like Veronica Mars writers don't lampshade for Veronica Mars, the TV show. Wallace and Veronica lampshade themselves. And for anyone who's not familiar, lampshading is when you make fun of yourself for something that is like an inconsistency or something that's unpleasurable in a show. So the characters do it to themselves when Veronica's basically like, yeah, I use you a lot. He's like, yeah, you do. So they kind of make fun of it now, and their relationship's a little bit healthier because they realize that they had that dysfunctional relationship. And now it kind of is forced to be broken, since Wallace is no longer as much of a help to Veronica as he used to be. But I'm kind of surprised at him for doing exactly what he said he did. He's like, oh, I learned all my criminal tendencies from you. That's why I stole this master key. And he did something else too. Like, I have all the administrator passwords. And she's like, oh, yeah, you're so awesome. I'm like, yeah, condone the illegal activity. One day he's going to have to get caught, you know?
Nah. It's Wallace. He's too smooth.
He is a very smooth cat. But people do get caught often in Veronica Mars for doing things they shouldn't that are to the equivalent of stealing administrative passwords and the like. But usually Veronica's the one catching them, so I'm like, you know, he's definitely on the right side if he wants to do illegal things.
Okay. Nothing wrong with that.
I was just going to say, speaking of illegal things, I thought it was interesting that the first episode back was about drugs, because we saw, like, obviously GHB last semester, or not last semester, last season. But I thought it was interesting that Wallace and Meg were accused of consuming illegal products, and that Van Clemens was kind of thrown back into the mix. I love Van Clemens, so it was nice to see him back.
Oh, the principal?
Yeah. Big Van Clemens.
Yeah, well, I am a little bit confused now that I've watched the whole entire episode and I've processed it. The principal's son was not involved in the changing of all of the star athletes' drug tests. But
no, he was like the original suspect.
Yeah, he was a little bit too suspicious to not have anything to do with what really happened, if you ask me. And he was also like talking about how, well, you know, when Veronica was like, that bully's going to rip off your head if he finds out that you're the one that fixed the drug test. And he goes, oh, no, I don't think he will. And then we see that he's the principal's son. So to me, that incriminated him. That was like, oh, yeah, I did it. And that's pretty much it. So what now, Veronica? And then all of a sudden she kept on going on and finding out more details. And I was just like, oh, why?
Because he was the red herring.
So he was just like one of many red herring who seemed even more than usual, like the final suspect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it was
Butters because he was only a freshman last year when Veronica was a junior, but he still seemed to not worship the ground Veronica walked on or was really fearful of her. So I thought that was a nice change from other characters that we've seen where they're all just scared of Veronica, automatically, you know, hate her because of something she's done. I thought it was nice that he's just a weird person and doesn't like her because of that.
So, yeah, we didn't see Butters in season one. That's odd that we wouldn't see the principal's son. And it's also funny to me that Veronica all of a sudden is just like, oh, no, I don't know him. That's right. Yeah, that's strange. She's like, I just make a note not to talk to freshmen. I don't know. I found that a little bit too convenient that she wouldn't have known him because regardless of him being a freshman or not, he still is the principal's son. So as well as she knows the principal, she should also know his kin.
Well, she's not spending dinners with the principal for family life. Like, she was spending time with him in his office. Like,
and he's not doing anything, like, illegal or underhanded where she would kind of explore his family tree and stuff like that, so.
Yeah, I suppose. I don't know. I feel like it was a little bit too convenient, but I'll buy it only because he isn't anyone of Veronica's usual crowd. You know, he's not 09er. He's not a biker. He's just kind of under the radar kind of guy.
Mm-hmm. So in general, how did we like this sort of mystery of the week?
Was it a mystery of the week? I don't know. Too much. It needed to be there because that's what Veronica Mars is at this point to me. Is that sad?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was fine. It was better than some and not as interesting as others.
Yeah, definitely. I'm along the lines of Caitlin.
I feel like go ahead, Gabrielle.
I liked it just because Van Clemens was involved and because, once again, he relied on Veronica to solve the case. And so, you know, she said at the beginning of the episode she's not getting involved with being a PI again, and then she's roped back.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's interesting that she was saying she wasn't going to be PI, and I think we all knew just watching Veronica Mars that it's gonna have to bring her back in there somehow. So that I'd say is lampshading from the writers when they were just basically like, come on guys, we all know that she was gonna get roped into this kind of stuff eventually. Like, let's not even try and pretend that this isn't gonna happen. But it's cool that they acknowledged that she had that break where she said that she was done with PI. She, like, she kind of needed to have that break, honestly, because of all the stuff that happened to her after she investigated the Aaron Eccles thing, you know. So that's pretty dramatic, and I think that it all worked out for the best that she got into it when she did.
Yeah, and I think it was really great that that it was Wallace that kind of got her back in. Like, she cared enough about Wallace to jump in.
And Meg. Well, she still cares about Meg. Am I mistaken on that?
No, you're not mistaken.
All right, well, that's good that she does, because Meg's a nice kindred soul who's making a mistake and being so mean to you, Veronica.
Yeah. I just feel like this mystery of the week wasn't as impressive or like as noteworthy, or we didn't like it as much because there was so much else going on.
Yeah, it's almost like I wish there wasn't one.
It wasn't something that we could focus half of our attention on, like usual. We had to focus like maybe a fifth or a sixth of our attention on this mystery of the week because of everything else that's going on.
So on the periphery of what we actually cared about finding out about.
Yeah. Speaking of like those other things and finding out, how did you feel about not knowing who her boyfriend was until towards the end of the episode?
Caitlin, are we there? Are we bro TPing again? Did we find our wavelength?
Duncan is my WTF. One of my WTFs is Duncan.
Thank you. Sing it, sister. Why is he WTF? What's he got going on? Or what doesn't he have going on?
I mean, Duncan, we talked about it a lot in season one, just does not have a lot of personality as he's been written. And I got the sense at the very end of last season that they had kind of made their peace with the fact that they were done and were maybe going to strike up a friendship, but didn't really need to go beyond that. So when they pulled out, like, it's my boyfriend, I was like, what are you doing? Like, you are so much more interesting than he is.
Yeah, for real.
he's like the person. Riley Finn, if you watch Buffy. Like, to me, he's like Riley Finn, who's completely vanilla and uninteresting, partnered with the really interesting, deep heroine. Like, just no. Just no.
And honestly, Caitlin, tell me if you agree with this. I think that paired with the dry writing he's given, the actor himself doesn't help it out too much. I know he wasn't given a lot, but he often has like these weird pauses in the way he speaks. I'll try and see if I can do an impression of it. He'll be like, hey, Veronica. Yeah, so great. We're going to go to the beach today. And she wouldn't say anything. And then she'd be like, yeah, we're going to the beach. Then he'd respond back like, also make sure... Yeah, bring your beach blanket. That would be good. And I'm like, oh my god, you sound so forced.
I did not notice that at all.
It's like, I'm exaggerating the breaks in his voice. They're not that big. But he sounds extremely forced in the way he speaks. And I'm like, wow, you sound like you're just reading off the script. You're like, you're not even acting it at points. And I'm really disappointed because I think that Veronica Mars, the show, deserves better acting than that. And I feel like I'm hurting a lot of people's feelings by saying I don't like Duncan's actor. I'm sorry. I just can't feel him anymore. I'm trying really hard. Danielle, am I making you cry?
I just wish, I mean, you're making the first time around first viewer Veronica Mars, Danielle, cry a little bit. I wish there was somebody else, like, on the podcast or, like, somebody else who would, like, come forward and say, like, they were a Duncan person. Because then I wouldn't feel so alone. Because I was so excited the first time that I saw this. Like, I love Logan. Don't get me wrong. I love him more with every passing day. But originally, I was on board with Duncan hardcore. I don't know why. But so this makes me cry a little bit for my past self.
I apologize, but I'm trying, okay. Danielle. I'm really trying. I'm trying very hard to like Duncan. I really do. I haven't liked him since, like, he sang Summer Lovin' on the bleachers. That was it.
I guess I differ from Danielle in that when I watched it my first time, I was kind of immediately on the Logan train just because I always like bad boys on television shows. But I was definitely surprised when she revealed her boyfriend when I saw it the first time. What's going on? What happened? And I was definitely really confused. And I think the flashback solved it in some ways, but I would have liked to see a longer period. Like I wanted to see the summer and what happened. Did you guys want to see that time too?
I just don't see like why they're good together. Like, I feel like you see a lot of like first boyfriends for these characters are, you know, they're good at the time, but you grow out of them. And I feel like she has long grown past what Duncan can offer her. So it just feels like regression. And maybe that's the point. I don't know, but it just, she seems so far beyond what he can offer her, so I'm not sure what we're supposed to take from them as a pairing.
Yeah, I think that Caitlin's hit the head on the nail right there with where Veronica's grown past and all of a sudden she's recessing to Duncan for no apparent reason. I don't see why she felt the need to go with him after her Logan breakup. Her Logan breakup was very justified. I like that she took the high road and she said, you can do whatever you want, I don't care. And if you're enjoying it, that's fine too. But you know what? You go with your friends and you vandalize things and you threaten people. And if that's what makes you happy, good. But I'm not in that mode. And I think that's what she was saying. And I was upset that Logan was going after her and saying, you think I'm having fun doing this? I'm like, yes, you are having fun doing it. You're taking great joy in doing all these horrible things. As much as your life's sucking, you can choose for it to suck a little bit less by doing, I don't know, better things and having a nicer life for yourself. I know you don't have you feel like you have a lot, but enjoy what's good. Enjoy your Veronica. You know, she's a big prize right there.
Were you saying something, Gabrielle?
Yeah, I was going to say I agree that he had a choice in his actions. But two things. One, he was being peer pressured, even though he's kind of the leader of the O-Niners. He's, you know, still had these people asking him what to do. And secondly, I mean, he has lost pretty much everything except Veronica. And so I don't really think we've seen Logan grieve. I mean, we've seen him grieve for his mom. But what about the fact that his girlfriend, who he loved, betrayed him with his father? Or the fact that his father killed his girlfriend and almost tried to kill his current girlfriend? Like, I mean, just because we didn't see that summer, we don't know if he really processed that. So he's a teenage boy and they're stupid. So, I mean, I give him a little bit of leniency. But at the same time, I agree he did have a choice.
I know I talked about after his mother died that I saw him having potentially destructive tendencies towards himself and others. And I'm like, this episode in the flashback when he like knocks the lamp over, I was like, there it is. That's exactly what I was expecting.
Was Papa Mars literally just waiting outside the door, waiting for things to go south? Because I'm sure Veronica at that point must have told him, hey, I'm going to break up with Logan, so Duncan, so just in case, you have to hide and just make sure he doesn't hurt me. Because that's like the only way that staging could have worked. I don't understand.
I mean, it could just be like right place, right time, as they often do in TV shows and movies like that. Mm-hmm. That's what I always assumed. I don't think she told.
Like, he's just coming in from the gas station from getting a pack of gum, and all of a sudden he's just like, oh, things are going down. I better jump in my house.
I just want to say that friends aren't something that Veronica talks to her dad about. So I don't think that she would have called him or anything like that.
Yeah. So I agree. Yeah, it was just convenient.
I also think it's interesting that we see Logan be very destructive, but we also see him confess his love to Veronica. And her response to that I just thought was super evasive. And kind of demeaning of his feelings. Like, if I was to confess my love to someone, I would kind of want them to be serious about it back. But maybe that's what he loves about her.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that part. It was unsettling how, like, quickly she moved away from it. But it makes sense at the same time with, like, who her character is. But so kind of speaking about Logan, Duncan, and Veronica, how did we feel, or what did you think about, like, the tension that happens before the bus trip? Like, Logan and Duncan have not talked at all. And it seems like more Duncan just fell off the face of the earth, not that he didn't want to talk to Logan. That's the impression I got. I don't know. What did you think of that weird triangle going on?
Well, I thought the last time we saw them interacting, Duncan and Logan, it was at Logan's surprise birthday party from Aaron. And that's when Logan said, if you have a problem with my girlfriend, get out. And it's funny because now Duncan's dating the girl that broke up his friendship, but he's still not friends with the person that said, if you don't like her, you can't be friends with me. So I don't get anything of Duncan's reasoning or logic. I don't understand. Are Logan and Duncan really that obsessed with Veronica that they're going to let that control every aspect of their life? Like, that's the only goal they had toward anything, is just being with Veronica, and if they don't have her, they're going to throw a hissy fit and be angry?
Teenage boys.
I mean, teenage boys, but I think also the fact that Logan's dad killed Duncan's sister might be a bit awkward. And
wow. Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah. A little bit.
They have a lot of stuff that makes them not want to be friends. I guess.
A long time ago, they used to be friends.
Yes, they did. Indeed, they did intro song.
I just wanted to throw out there really quickly for Duncan haters, sort of. And I don't know, for those of us who have the DVD, I don't know how many of you do, or if you even looked through the special features. But in the special features, there is a deleted scene for this episode. And it happens right before Logan, Duncan, and Veronica like meet up in front of the buses before the trip. So, like, before that really tense scene, Duncan, like, runs around their entire outside campus and almost in, like, a Heath Ledger 10 Things I Hate About You kind of way, and starts acting like Tom Cruise because Kristen Bell had, like, asked him to or something, in praise of Veronica. And then it was kind of stopped by Meg, and then they turned, and then it was completely shut down by Logan.
What?
Which I think is really interesting. Yeah, if you have the DVD, I highly recommend watching that scene, because it gives you, one, it gives a little bit more character to Duncan, and two, it kind of shows, it shows the dynamics even when they're not thinking about each other or like face-to-face with each other. It shows how one look at Logan can completely shut down everything, both for Veronica and for Duncan, but for different reasons. I don't know. I just wanted to throw that out there because I thought it was really interesting, and it was kind of a cute scene until it like ended abruptly.
I am thoroughly confused. I'm absolutely confused. Wait, let me see if I got the facts
straight. Sorry. All right. Yeah, sure.
So off camera, when they're not acting, Kristen Bell.
I'm sorry. I meant to say Veronica Mars.
Oh, so okay. So here we go. Ready?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Veronica, the character, was like, hey, Duncan, you want to know how you can prove how much you love me? Go run around the campus and say how much you do, all that you can, and just show the whole world how much you love me. Then he starts acting like Tom Cruise did on Oprah's couch, jumping up and down, saying, I love my wife. And all of a sudden, he sees Logan and has to stop doing that.
And they see Meg, and then they see Logan.
Why would Veronica ask someone to do something so insane? What benefit does she have? She didn't ask him,
but he was talking. What was he talking about? Like, they were being lovey-dovey a little bit, and something about how he doesn't really show his affection a lot towards her or something. And he's like, well, how do you want me to be? Like, Tom Cruise jumping on the couch? And she's like, yeah. And then that's when he starts going all over the place. I didn't explain that well the first time, and I apologize.
No, it's okay. So the point of that scene was basically to just show that Logan, like you said, Logan can make everyone stop being happy.
It kind of shows the two exes and like how, because you see Meg and you get her reaction first and then you see Logan. So you get the two exes like looking at Duncan and Veronica, and you kind of see not only how the Logan Duncan Veronica triangle is completely broken and how those dynamics are, but you see like the exes towards the new couple as well. Okay. I don't know.
It's odd.
I don't know. It was a fun thing I wanted to throw out there. So if anybody has a chance to watch that scene, I recommend it because I kind of wish it was in there, but yeah.
I mean, sorry, I see why it's a deleted scene. Usually people say that as a joke for why scenes are, and to me, I'm just trying to picture it. I'm just like, wait, that seems like out of character for everyone. I don't know what's going on.
It just makes, it makes me sad because that's the kind of Duncan that, it was like the summer loving Duncan.
Right.
Back again.
Right.
So I feel like it should have been in there because then people would love Duncan better.
Because that makes him less dry, like Caitlin and I think he is.
Yeah. So I'm sorry, random tangent that I just wanted to share with people. But yes.
Hey, I don't hate Duncan. I just think he's boring.
Yeah.
And I understand that completely because he is kind of boring as much as it pains
I think
me
I need to
say.
See his actor in another show before I can judge his acting abilities, because I think that a lot of why I don't like him has to be the writing for his character. Why is the writing
so
excellent?
Well, he's no longer acting.
Oh, he's not? No. Did he act in anything else but Veronica Mars?
He's training to be a lawyer. So, side note.
So wasn't he in anything before Veronica Mars?
I'm not sure.
So, I'll look it up, but I think so.
Yeah, I just want to check him out and like just see if for some reason that's how he's interpreting Duncan, if that's the writing. Like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know.
Oh, he was in something that I saw recently. And by recently, I mean it was like something older, but he was in it and I saw it recently.
Yeah, yeah. Make sure to let us know because I'm curious to see something else about what's going on with his actor. What's his actor's name? Because we keep on calling him that.
His name is Teddy Dunn. Mm-hmm. And he was in Jumper. He was also in Gilmore Girls at one point.
He was in Jumper. Who was he? Like a bad guy or a fellow jumper or something?
Oh, he was... that's where I saw him. He was the... I feel like he was a jock boyfriend, and at one point he got taken into the police and was in, like, questioning.
Oh, I vaguely remember. Yeah.
His name is Mark, but he was, like, in questioning, and then I think he gets attacked by, oh my God, who was the jumper?
Christian Hayden?
Yes, Hayden Christensen. Like, he gets attacked by him, like, in the questioning room or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
So he's not in a lot.
And for anyone who doesn't remember the movie Jumper, it's someone that can transport themselves to any place that they want in the whole wide world. And the guy that played Anakin in Star Wars 1, 2, and 3 was that main actor. And it wasn't that good of a movie anyway. So,
moving on.
Yeah.
So one of the other storylines that was going on in this episode was the fallout of that fight that we saw Logan get into at the end of the first season with the biker gang, and we find out that one of the members of the PCHers was killed, and we see that Logan ends up with the knife in his hand.
But someone framed him. That's pretty obvious.
Okay, so that's the route that you're gonna go.
Yeah, I mean that Caitlin, right?
Okay.
Yeah, I mean Logan. Like Veronica says at some point, like he was beaten to hell. He had a concussion and broken ribs, and he really wrestled a knife away from these huge guys and stabbed someone. Like, yeah, right.
Yeah.
And he was drunk, so like, I have a hard time picturing him having the physical capabilities at that point to do that.
But I have to admit, I was pretty shocked by the knife in his hand because, to me, it felt like Veronica Mars didn't play that scene out as dramatic as I thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, when someone dies via a gang fight, it should be more like West Side Story. It shouldn't just be like, oh, God, that guy died. What a shame. Well, let's move on. Like, I know there was the whole entire court case and all that business, but there wasn't any, like, when maybe he had a lot to deal with in his brain at that moment, but when Logan was over at Veronica's house, he was just like, yeah, and some guy was dead when I woke up. You know, it's such a rush. I can't deal with this right now. He wasn't like, oh my God, someone died. Like, I'd be crying if someone died and it looked like I had killed them and I didn't know. Well, you know, just
he's feel... also.
No, go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say, I mean, he's seen a lot of death in the last few months, and so I feel like it was probably more relief that he was alive rather than surprise. But we definitely will see ramifications of this. We can call it murder, of this murder throughout the entire season. That's kind of where class tensions, they're going to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of starts it, which you can kind of see around the court case. So the murder won't go unnoticed.
It's breaking up my bro TP, which I'm having issues with.
Oh, it is very much breaking up your bro TP.
Yeah, a little bit.
Which I don't understand.
I'm sorry.
Why they can't just feel for Caitlin and I. I mean, as if the show's still airing right now. But, you know, they should have given us some more bro TP than they are right now.
I miss my bromance.
I'm sorry for your loss.
Speaking of bromances, what about the new romance? That was in this episode, if we can call it that. So Kendall Casablancas, who's Dick and Beaver's newest stepmom, who looks like supposedly an ex-Lakers girl, and she looks like a model, is having an affair with 18-year-old Logan.
Cordelia Chase, more Buffy connections.
Do we believe that she would go after him?
He's a hot piece of ass.
I mean, I think I want to talk more about how the new children of that lady can just sit there and, like, ogle her at the pool, and that's okay. Like, Dick was pretty much, you know, checking out his new mom at the pool, and it was just like, oh, that's cool. I know that she's just, like, a Laker girl, and she's just, like, whatever, who cares? She's just my dad's latest screw, but... It still felt a little bit twisted that Dick was just like, yeah.
Well, she's a young person. She's hot. It's Dick.
She's probably closer to Dick's age than his father.
Yeah, and I feel like she's, I don't think she wants to be called mom. No. I think it's one of those kind of stepmom things. So, like, if you're not calling this person mom, if she's just kind of dating your dad, but, like, kind of just spending all his money, you don't see him, or you don't see her as, like, a mother figure. So I can see how, even if it wasn't Dick, if it was somebody else, like, I could see how they would be ogling. Mm-hmm. Just because there's not that barrier there.
Also teenage boys.
Yes, also teenage boys.
That's just the theme of all of this, teenage boys.
Yep.
Well, I personally, yeah, teenage boys and all that business, think that they should have taken a different storyline than they are with her. Because, like I said in the beginning of this podcast episode, I'm really feeling too much of an Aaron Lily storyline going on because of the underage sex thing. And we know that Logan is not 18 yet because when Aaron threw that surprise birthday party for him, he said, is this 9 months early? And he was a junior in high school, so he was 17 at least.
And so, he gets that inheritance when he turns 18.
Absolutely. And we would know that he had that too. So I'm not liking that they're doing this all over again. It feels not dry, but overdone at this point. What's the point in doing it?
Gabrielle, I mean, I think for me, it doesn't feel as icky as Aaron and Lily because one, Logan isn't dead. And two, and secondly, the fact that Kendall Casablancas looks to be like mid-20s versus like late 40s. I don't know. I just, for me, it's just a different feel. And I think just the lines that they're using and how they're framing it is kind of different from how they framed Aaron and Lily.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, here's an interesting thing. I'm trying to frame this in a way that doesn't make us sound like complete and utter monsters. But is the fact that Aaron was the older person in the relationship as opposed to Kendall being the older person in the relationship making it more okay in our brains? Meaning, if the woman is the older one, does it make it hot as opposed to if the man's the older one, it makes it a creepy relationship, you know? Is that just something that we have ingrained in our brains from some societal thing, or?
I could see that to a point.
Because I think that's something that people often mention whenever these kind of storylines come along, that it's, if you wanted to go like an absolutely typical route, you could just say people are like, oh yeah, Logan's getting some ass. But if you wanted to take the objective view that we took with Aaron and Lily, we would be like, no, this is still a, you know, illegal sexual interaction because Logan's younger than him, you know, than her. So I don't know. I think it's an open-ended question. It's not easily answered because, like I said, that's something societal. It's not black and white.
Well, I mean, and also in society, they call older women cougars.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not like that's a completely positive, like a younger guy with an older woman is not necessarily really favorable or overly favorable in comparison to an older guy, a younger girl.
Right. So. Yeah. Society does put a positive emphasis on cougars as opposed to whatever you want to call older men with younger girls. And
I said it was negative.
Yeah. So it's definitely looked on as being more negative in that aspect. So yeah, interesting. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad I could use all of us podcast hosts as that guinea pig.
But you know who aren't cougars? Keith and Alicia.
Nice transition. Yeah, she visited in the hospital. Hands.
Yeah, show of hands, who's happy they're still together?
I'm raising.
Yay!
I'm up Yay. In the air.
They're so fun. I love them. I'm really glad that they got together after we saw them together in the season finale. It just
Same.
Makes me so happy. I'm happy that they're happy.
Yeah, it's fun. And I think 201 was the episode where, yeah, definitely, where Veronica said, hey, you know, some lady at my work thinks you're really cute. And Wallace goes, I'm going to go tell my mom that. And he's just going on about worships the ground that she
that's
stands
my favorite
on.
Line,
remember,
stop.
Write that down. Oops, I took someone's line.
Stop right there. We'll get there soon enough.
Fabulous.
But yeah, no, it's the whole relationship or like the outlook that Wallace and Veronica have about it is so much better now. And it makes it more comfortable for everybody. And I really enjoy it.
Yeah, and I'm glad that the kids seem to be more okay with it now. I think they're just like, whoa, like everyone's sitting back and they're just like, can we just like reflect on everything that just happened? That was way too much. We need to just love what we have in our lives and just let each other be happy, because there was way too much craziness and death going on before.
Yep, but there's still craziness and death going on now.
Oh yeah. Poor people. And just before can't catch a break in Neptune.
Yeah. Before we see the bus crash, we do meet two more characters, which are actually kind of fun celebrity sightings. We have Gia, and that's for everybody, Kristen Ritter. She's in like a bunch of stuff. She's a fantastic actress and she's so fun. So we have Gia, and then we also meet her father, Mr. Goodman, who's played by Steve Guttenberg. And he's just a big name in Hollywood, sort of on the side. Like, he's in a lot of things, but I feel like he's one of those people that I can't really say anything he's in, but if I see him, I'm like, oh, that's Steve Guttenberg. So it's kind of fun to have that.
Isn't she from Don't Trust the Bitch from Apartment 18? Remember that
23.
Show?
23. Yeah. Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23. Yep.
I knew I was going to have to guess a number. They probably assume that people do that when they talk about their TV show anyways. But
well, Bee and 23 rhymed. So.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. But you said the whole word, so then you totally lost it.
It's like I couldn't remember if the title had like a asterisk in the middle of the word bitch or something, so I was like, yeah, I'm just gonna go for it.
Yeah. No, it was good. I enjoyed it. But yeah, so that's our celebrity sighting for this episode. Because we always have to have one.
Well, can we talk about if she's gonna show up again, because she was set up for some reason. I don't know why. She didn't die. She was fine. She was in limo. She was hanging out and having a good old time with the O-Niners. Well,
we see her set up. I don't think this is spoilers to just say that we see her set up as someone who Dick is interested in from his comment.
Right, so, pick a little flower. Right.
Right. And then we also see that in the next episode, Mayor Goodman is going to stick around, who's the wannabe mayor.
Right, right.
Just like Keith is the wannabe sheriff once more. So maybe because he's around, maybe his daughter's going to be around as well.
Yeah, good point. Wasn't it funny when she stood up in front of the whole O-Niner group at the field trip for baseball and she was talking about her dress and saying things like, I didn't know if we were like going for like lazy beach day or like West Coast, East Coast faux preppy. So I just went for like all the above. But I'm dressed like this every day.
I'm not making a statement.
And I was like, whoa, well, I hope not, because your outfit's mighty ugly. I don't like that outfit look. Is that something that was popular in the 2000s? Like a tight skirt that went up past your belly button and then like a belly shirt that was like awkwardly cropped and stuff. It just looked to me like she was like trying to wear like Barbie clothes and she was too tall and oversized for them or something.
Oh, I thought it was pretty in tune with the time. Really? Even maybe now too. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I didn't think it was that weird.
Like, I can't imagine anyone being able to pull off that outfit. I don't think it looked flattering to her very thin rail of a shape. She's a very thin woman, and I was just like, wait, those clothes are really short for her tall body. I don't understand where everything's supposed to go.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, there you go, 2000s.
But yes, so we will see her in more stylings, I guess.
Oh, good.
Of hers. She will be back, I promise. That's not a spoiler. She will be back.
I'll give you that. Not a spoiler.
Yes. I promise. Not a spoiler.
Okay.
Moving along, we do see Weevil towards the end of this episode, and we see that Weevil and Veronica are pretty much not on good terms. Because of that thing that happened with Logan on the bridge, they're kind of on opposite sides, or it feels like they are, of a conflict. So we get this kind of tension between them. But then we also see their friendship come through towards the end of that scene. I don't know. What were your thoughts during that scene between Weevil and Veronica?
I was upset that Veronica said to Weevil, like, you don't know anything about me, when they were having that confrontation. Cause I mean, obviously he was being really rude and, assuming things about her that he shouldn't have. But at the same time, you know, they were pretty close last season. So to me, it just seemed really defensive of her.
Yeah. Hmm. Caitlin?
I was just sad panda because I love their friendship, so I don't like when my bro TPs are on the rocks, and they're Veronica and Weevil are another one of my bro TPs. So, but yeah, I thought that conversation was painful, as was the scene when she was walking down the hall and they make eye contact and she walks away. Like, made me sad, but I was glad when he came back for her. I'm like, you still like each other, you're just on the rocks, but you'll work it out. It'll be okay. You don't even need couples therapy. It'll be okay.
But he did save her. I mean, well, he sort of saved her from the bus accident in a way. And then we also see his kind of friendship side taking over when he offers to drive her back to school, even though he really had no reason to, which is kind of nice. So it kind of shows that their friendship or what they had can get through things like this, which is hopeful. Makes me hopeful.
It was an olive branch, which was nice.
Yes, exactly. And then, of course, there was the bus scene. So yes. I guess one of the biggest questions is, do we think it was an accident? At this point in time, do we think it was an accident?
No.
No. Wouldn't be a mystery if it was.
Fair enough. Okay.
Basically, yeah. This is a mystery TV show. They're setting up a mystery. Yeah. It's not an accident.
Yep.
Fine. So what do you think of this storyline?
Also WTF. Think it's gonna
be interesting? Okay.
Yeah, a little bit so WTF, so definitely.
Not in a bad way, just in a, I did not see that coming at all. And, you know, okay. After the first season, I guess I wasn't really expecting a whole bunch more murder mystery kind of thing going on. So it, and then just like more elevated than the one, which was Lily. And then we have two instances. We have the PCHR and then we have the bus, which was multiple students and the teacher and the driver. So like there's a whole lot more death going on than I was anticipating.
Definitely. And like I said,
so do you foresee those? Sorry, go ahead, Mitch.
Like I said before, I was shocked that Meg survived because it was just stupid convenient. It was odd because Gia was, you know, there at the scene of the accident and is shouting out, they all went down, they all died, they're all dead. And I was like, yeah, they should all be. Like, how could you have survived in a bus right then and there? And my only philosophy to how Meg could have survived is that she was sitting toward the back of the bus after she, well, did she move or Veronica did after a little confrontation? I can't remember where she was when she was looking out the window and said, yes, we're all here, when Veronica was talking to Weevil. So I think she might have had a time to swim out from the back of the bus maybe, but it's a bit sketchy. I don't know. I just don't see why they had to make her survive if they were going to put her in the bus in the first place. Why do that at all? Like, it's supposed to be a tragedy and no one's supposed to survive, but then somehow by some sort of miracle a character does? Why? She's unconscious. What's she doing now? How's the drama progressing, you know, from her being alive?
You'll see.
I suppose I will. No comment.
That's all it creates a lot of guilt for Veronica.
But wouldn't it have created more guilt if she died?
Yeah.
Well, it creates a different brand of guilt because Veronica already has survivor's guilt from everybody else. And then it's another brand of guilt because she was already having issues with Meg. And then so it's up in the air whether she's going to be able to resolve it or not. Because if Meg had died, there would have just been like, this is completely, we can't move past this. But then it's a matter of drama of whether they'll be able to reconcile if Meg survives her injuries. So it's just a different kind of drama.
Well, and on top of that, Veronica was the reason why Meg was not in. Because Meg is an 09er. And she chose to take the bus because Veronica was going to be in the limo. And then obviously Veronica got on the bus at the last minute before they left the stadium. So that's another brand of guilt, was that Meg should have been fine. She should have been in the limo. So.
Though if Meg was trying to avoid Duncan too, she might not have anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. So it's kind of both of them, but Veronica does feel that sort of guilt. So. But before they even go over the cliff, we see Lily's ghost. Did anybody find that random, or did it kind of, I don't know, how was your take on that?
I didn't find it random just because it led her to Weevil, and we already kind of went over the connection that Weevil and Lily had. So I just saw it as Lily watching out for her and keeping her safe.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was a cool way of her to reach beyond the grave. I think that Veronica Mars every once in a while reaches into the supernatural with the scenes that we've seen Lily's ghost in, and this was an appropriate time for Lily to come out and save her old best friend.
Yeah, it was interesting. Didn't bother me, but it was what it was. We've seen them hallucinating Lily before, so wouldn't be the first time.
All right. So that brings us to the end of episode one. And so let's do our favorite scenes and then favorite lines, and we'll get to episode two. My favorite scene from episode one was, no surprise, pretty much anything with Dick, but especially when they're on the bus and he refers to Miss Dumas, the new journalism teacher, which, whoops, there goes another journalism teacher, by the way, people. When he calls her, or refers to as Miss Dumbass instead of Miss Dumas, that whole scene just makes me laugh so hard. Caitlin, favorite scene?
Mine was the flashback to Logan being the one to knock on the door, and when he was, they were sitting on the couch and he had his head in her lap. Like, my shipper heart really enjoyed that.
Gabrielle, favorite scene?
My favorite scene is similar to Caitlin's. It was a flashback of the breakup between Veronica and Logan, even though I am shipper, as you all have guessed. I just thought it was really well acted and expressed a lot of Logan's feelings that we don't usually see.
It was super intense.
It was so good. So good. And Mitch, what was your favorite scene?
Was basically Meg's last moments on camera before the accident, because as much as she was being a biatch during that scene on the bus, I still love her deep down, and I was just sad to see that that was her last moment conscious. And I want more of her happy and fun, and I'm not too happy that everyone's going to remember her as being that person, because I know she's more than that.
All right. And then favorite lines. My favorite came right before the musical intro, and it's from Veronica, and she goes, "Just when I think I'm out, they pull me back in." I just think it's very emblematic of the series as a whole, and I love it. So that's just me. Caitlin, favorite line?
Mine was the one that Mitch was trying to steal earlier. It was a conversation between Keith, Veronica, and Wallace. And Keith says, "Wallace, your mother and I have an understanding." And Veronica's like, "You do?" And Keith says, "Yes." And it's this: "I behave myself and she doesn't leave me. So please tell her nothing other than I worship the ground on which she treads." Like, so great. Like, he knows how to keep his woman happy. So keep it up, Keith Mars, boyfriend material extraordinaire.
Yes. Gabrielle?
So mine was a conversation in the beginning of the episode between Veronica and Wallace, when Veronica's trying to investigate the drug test. So she says, "Got any enemies you know about?" Wallace: "Well, there's the Klan." Veronica: "This isn't really their MO. Wallace: "Well, then I guess that leaves everybody that hates you." I obviously cannot deliver it as well as they can, but it was very snarky and showed how Wallace has grown up in a lot of ways.
Because he can compete now, which is great. And Mitch, your favorite line from episode one?
Really funny moment that Keith had when he walks in to, well, Veronica walks in after her first day of senior year, and he says, "So, senior year, how was your first day at school, honey?" And Veronica just says, "Great, I beat up a freshman, stole his lunch money, and then skipped out after lunch." I love that relationship they have. It's great.
And there's the line about premarital sex right after that.
He's just so basically good. Just like, "Don't worry, Dad, you'll like these guys."
That was great.
They're the best. Oh, love them. All right. And so let us move on to episode two, which is called Driver Ed. And here's the quick synopsis. Veronica is drafted to help Jesse Doyle prove that her father, Ed Doyle, the bus driver, did not mean to kill himself after Lam finds a suicide note. It turns out to be a note Ed wrote to his wife to leave her and not a suicide note. We are introduced to Jackie Cook, the daughter of Terrence Cook, Jackie Cook is the sophisticated snob, and she's also Wallace's new crush. Mr. Goodman decides to run for mayor and drafts Keith into running for sheriff once more. Meg, we find out, is the sole survivor of the bus crash and is in a coma. Duncan and Veronica do the deed, and a dead body washes ashore with Veronica's name on his hand. So, jumping right in, new character, Jackie Cook. What do we think of her? Exactly. Yes, I hate her. She's one of my least favorite characters ever in this TV show. I like Logan's dad, Aaron Eccles, more than I like
her. I really don't like characters. Like when she had that scene when she's talking to Wallace when they first meet and she says something like, she basically, you know, like a bitch and 180 degree turn back to study hall, and then we could have had something. I'm like, what is wrong with you? Like, no, stop that. Have some self-respect. Like, I just hate characters who are like that. So she was bleh, go away.
She was the wrong kind of bitchy or snarky.
Yes.
Yeah. Mitch, any thoughts on Jackie?
I mean, honestly, like, she had that somewhat touching scene with her father, but then she goes and is treating my boy Wallace so bad, and I'm just like, okay, see, you do have daddy issues, but he didn't mean to be mean to you. You shouldn't be treating Wallace like that, honestly. He's helping you out, you know?
Yeah. A fan, and I know Ariana will talk about this when she gets on the show, but as soon as she was watching it, immediately she's like, I do not like this girl, and she was hating on her pretty bad, and I knew exactly who she was talking about without having to even know. But yeah, I don't like Jackie. I apologize. Do you like Jackie, Gabrielle, or are you just kind of neutral on her?
I'm neutral on her in this episode. Yeah, I guess that's okay. What I'll say. I think she's an okay actress. I just don't really like her delivery of some lines, because I think, like, with Kristen Bell, if she delivered lines differently, she could come off really bitchy. So maybe Jackie isn't supposed to be as bitchy, I guess.
That's true. That could be. And speaking of other females, we also meet Jessie Doyle, who is the daughter of the bus driver. So we see her circumstances with her family and how her dad's death being ruled a suicide kind of impacts them. So with her thinking that it wasn't a suicide, do we believe her? Or how do we feel about that whole mystery of the week?
I don't think it's a mystery of the week. I think it's something that Veronica's going to be interested in pursuing further, because she does feel so guilty over Meg, and it's just in her nature to find out. But I kind of go with Veronica's gut. So if Veronica believes something, I'm more likely to as well. And Sheriff Lam is never most trusted or honest figure.
Ugh, yeah. What about you, Caitlin? What did you think about this kind of storyline?
I mean, I was just thinking that, you know, as a viewer outside of the confines of the show, I was like, well, obviously this wasn't an accident. It wasn't a suicide, because of the type of show it is. But if I had been in the show with just the information that they had, I probably would have been inclined to think that it was an accident as well. But, you know, it's the way they're setting it up in episode 2, because I know this, I know it's clearly not an accident. So I'm intrigued to see where this is going to go.
All right. Is Keith running for sheriff? Do we want him to leave his position as Private Eye? Or do we even think he would win? Or are you just kind of not? I don't know. What do you think about Keith running for sheriff?
He would totally win. He's got a book now. Hello, he's a celebrity. And everyone in town saw how incompetent Sheriff Lam was, and Keith was vindicated. So of course he's going to win if he runs.
he's going to win. I don't know if he's going to continue to run, because I was confused personally. It was weird because at one point he was telling the soon-to-be mayor, I'm assuming, that he wasn't going to. And then all of a sudden he just went to Veronica. Oh, yes, I am. So I just don't know what I'm supposed to believe or why he said what he did to either the mayor or Veronica. So could a big fan explain that to me, the newbie over here?
Sure. Sure. So basically he didn't want to run before because of what happened with Lily's murder. There was like a notoriety involved and he just didn't want that kind of pressure. But then when he was sitting in Sheriff Lamb's office, or just the police station in general, he saw Jesse Doyle try to convince Sheriff Lamb to reopen his father's case and try to convince him that she had proof that her father did not commit suicide because she had the neighbor who was involved with him. And Sheriff Lamb would not listen because Sheriff Lamb is a selfish and not great character. And so basically my take on it is that Keith Mars saw this opportunity to help people like Jesse Doyle and to improve the town by getting Sheriff Lamb out so that the police station can be better for people that need it, if that makes sense. Like, he saw Sheriff Lamb as crooked sense. And he wanted to fix that. That was my take on it. So yeah, Keith Mars for sheriff, everybody. Obviously, we'll be seeing that play out over the season because he's running with Woody Goodman, who is also not going anywhere. So we will find out. And let's see. Moving on, this is something we've kind of already touched on a little bit, but Meg is in the coma. We talked about Veronica's guilt and Veronica and Duncan. Do you think that anything could come of Meg being in the coma? Do you think she's going to pull through, or what do you think her storyline importance might be that she's in the coma?
I feel like she has to get through.
Yeah, she has to, right, Caitlin?
What's the point of putting her in the coma to not have her pull through? If they were just going to have her killed off and play with that, they would have just killed her off in the bus. So I feel like she has to come through, just for narrative purposes.
Yep, understandable. That was a quick one. Let's see what else we have to talk about here. Oh, the deed. Veronica and Duncan ended up having, I guess, their first time that was completely consensual without the use of drugs. So good for them, I guess. How did we view that scene, especially with Logan next door? Was it awkward when we found out that it was Logan next door? Or I don't know. How did you feel about the scene? Yeah.
I got why Veronica was having sex with him, because she felt like, I'm lucky to be alive, seize the day, experience life. I just don't see a lot of sexual chemistry between them. So it's just weird for me. And the fact that Logan was next door broke my heart. And the fact that he was the one who was being really loud just made me crack up.
Cosign to all of that. Basically.
Another quick deleted scene fun fact. It'll take less time than the last one. But actually, when Veronica shows up to Duncan's and before they do the deed, like, yet again, we see more of a personality side to Duncan in a deleted scene on the DVD, where he has this huge, like, travel Europe fun scavenger hunt thing around his hotel room, and then they like end up kissing in front of his room and end up in bed, which is also why we see a zoom in on a Mona Lisa pillow right at the end of the bed before the scene fades to black. And so it kind of shows more of their relationship and like how cute they are together and how much they actually like each other. But no, they decide to take the scene out, and just frustrating, because I feel like it would have made that scene of them finally getting together, I think it would have made it mean a lot more than it actually does in this cut of it, which is frustrating. But I do see how it was kind of like a seize the day type thing for Veronica. So that part, I guess, makes it kind of emotional, but it could have been so much more, but it wasn't. Fun fact, not so fun fact. Let me see. Oh, and also, I mean, we usually leave reader comments for the end, but I thought this one kind of fit in here. One of our readers, Monica, had a fun fact for us a few weeks ago, and she finally was able to share it with us. and it has to do with Duncan and Veronica. So I guess in Rod Thomas's original storyline for the show, he was going to make Duncan be Veronica's actual brother. And then obviously he had to change the storyline because UPN is not like HBO or Showtime where they can have that sort of incest thing going on. But I think it would have been really interesting if the show would have ended up going that way, because we would not have had this kind of weird Duncan-Veronica relationship going on right now. I don't know. I just thought it was really interesting to think of in terms of, I guess, this scene where they get together yet again, knowing that they're not siblings.
Yeah, that's always in the back of my mind, of just like that scare that they could have been siblings. So whenever I see them together, especially in like a romantic sense, like that is always coloring everything when I watch it. So that also makes it hard to buy it for me. It's just niggling in the back of my mind that that scare was there.
That does not sound pleasant at all. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Okay, moving on. This episode doesn't have a lot to talk about. At least it's not as jam-packed as the first, but we do have a few more things to touch on, such as the random body that washes ashore with Veronica's name. I don't even know.
I gotta admit that I kind of rolled my eyes.
Besides, yeah. Because, could you explain why? Like, why did you roll your eyes? Just because it was
typically because I was just like
sort of story.
Well, yeah, because I was just kind of like, okay, really, that's a little bit too much for me. It's like, oh wow, the whole world surrounds Veronica Mars. Everything will always lead back to her. And I was just like, no, I feel like you really could have brought a better storyline in to get Veronica Mars into this, rather than having like it is blatantly and cheesily written on the person, the dead person's body's. The dead person's body's hand.
Well, we don't know why. So it could be really cheesy, but there could be a perfectly valid reason for it. We just don't know yet.
I mean, yeah, but to me it's coming off like it's supposed to be large and epic, like Not Penny's Boat from Lost, when it really, I don't think it's going to have that large of an importance. I feel like it's going to be like someone sabotaged Veronica once again and is looking to get her in trouble, so they wrote her name on the dead body or something. I don't know. It's weird. And how would that marker stay on someone's hand, you know, like in the ocean for a couple of days since the bus crash, which I'm assuming the body's coming from? It wouldn't have. So that's why it had to have been sabotaged. You know, someone had to have just done that.
Why are you assuming it came from the bus crash?
Okay, well, I'm assuming because it looks like someone could be a bus driver, but I'm not 1,000% sure, to tell you the truth.
Okay.
Well, we saw a whole bunch of people at the memorial of it. Maybe it was some guy from there. I don't know. Like, there are a lot of people it could be.
On the bus.
Yeah, I'm just interested that you automatically assumed it was the bus.
Well, yeah, because the only people that are dead right now are the people on that bus in Veronica Mars' world.
That we know of.
That we know of. I mean, maybe there's a mass murder going on. I don't know. Maybe that's a whole other storyline, but that's all I see right now, you know?
All right, fair enough. And did anyone else like the cameo by Kevin Smith?
Yes, loved it.
Or did... Enjoy it. I love Kevin Smith. I think he's hilarious.
Well,
for all of the listeners who aren't sure, for all the listeners who aren't sure who Kevin Smith is, he was the guy who played the, he was at the gas station and he was like the clerk at the gas station. He is behind some of the best things ever. Like, I believe he's in Jay and Silent Bob. That is Kevin Smith, and he's just a wonderful comedian. And I don't know. He's funny. He's hilarious. So that's my spiel. Go ahead, Gabrielle.
Well, I just watched this latest episode of The Mindy Project right before watching Veronica Mars. And so he was in the latest episode of The Mindy Project, and then I got to see him again. So I was excited. Oh. I love Kevin Smith.
Kevin Smith. That's this episode's celebrity sighting for you, is Kevin Smith. I feel like every episode has to be sponsored by a celebrity sighting. I don't know why. It just has to happen that way. So that's pretty much all that went on with episode two. There wasn't a lot to it, I guess. But I wanted to know what the newbies think about this kind of new tone of the show. At least I feel like there's a new tone. I don't know if you feel like there is, but I feel like it's definitely different from season one. Yeah. What do you think about it?
I like it.
Me too. I'm a fan of it.
You had to do something completely different to have this next season stand out once you've solved your big mystery. And I like it. I like that it's, I'm not sure how to describe it, but it is different and I do like it.
I mean, personally, I'd attribute a lot of the differences to things like haircuts, outfits, and characters. But other than that, I think that our remaining characters are doing a good job of keeping things fresh, not letting things become too dry, save for Duncan.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And we'll obviously be going through the season and things will obviously be changing. So keep me updated, or keep everybody updated on how you're feeling about the season, whether it's just as a whole or in terms of, or in comparison to season one. Because, there are two pretty different seasons, so it'll be interesting to track. And that brings us really to the end of our episode two discussion. I keep wanting to say end of season two, which is so not right. Okay. Favorite scenes. Mine. Oh gosh, I can't believe I wrote this down. I don't remember this. So my favorite scene was Veronica and Duncan in bed. This is when they cuddle, or like they're kind of after post-coitus thing. Especially where she talks like a man and they talk about outmoaning the couple next door. The reason why I really liked this scene is because it reminds me of one of my favorite movies ever, which also stars Kristen Bell, and that's Forgetting Sarah Marshall, where the two couples try to outmoan each other. And so this, I thought it was funny that they bring it up in Veronica Mars because it stars the same person. So that's why Veronica and Duncan in bed is my favorite scene. Caitlin, what's yours?
Mine was right after that, when Veronica leaves the hotel room and runs into Logan, revealed that Logan was the one in the other room. And I just, they were very, he was very nasty to her, which I kind of liked. Like, this reminds me of the scene in the beach that I liked so much in the season one finale, where they're just kind of like, he's kind of hurling nasty insults at her, just kind of in general, because she has hurt him. So I just like, it's weird that I like that side of him, but I like seeing it because it's just an interesting aspect of his personality. So just, I really liked seeing that nastiness from him.
Totally. Yes, I agree. I like seeing that too, because it's something we don't see very often, or at least we haven't seen very often. So yeah, no, I like that too. Gabrielle, what was your favorite scene?
So my favorite scene was when Veronica is talking to Kevin Smith's clerk at the gas station. And he's just so outrageous and so insensitive. And it was just a breath of fresh air that Veronica was just so horrified by it. When usually she's the one kind of probing topics that people don't want to talk about, he was just way too insensitive for even her.
And Mitch, your favorite scene?
Mine was when Veronica was talking to the couple the first time around with the woman who was with the bus driver, the one that was cheating with the bus driver. I liked how she was able to turn on her serious voice for this couple, and it was really nice that she was able to convince them as easily as she was, because I think that as I know her, I wouldn't have been as convinced, but, you know, like, seeing it on the outside as those kind of characters that are just meeting her, I would have been like, yeah, she seems legitimate, you know?
She's just too good. And now, favorite lines. I think mine is actually pretty much a fandom favorite line in general, but it's from Veronica, and she says, "If I ever die, do me a favor. Go on Oprah and tell the world that I love kittens." I think she said it to Wallace, and it just makes me laugh every time. I love it so much. Caitlin, your favorite line?
Everything is always so Logan heavy. I can't even stand it. I don't even realize
And please read. Yeah. I'm sorry. I was just going to say, please read what you call the characters because it's wonderful.
Well, I took that off the Mars Investigations and that's what they called him. But Big Dick, when they're at the shooting range, because that scene was really good. And he's talking to Logan and Big Dick tells Logan, you need focus, precision, the ability to only think about the task at hand. When I'm working, my family doesn't exist. Sound awful? And Logan says, no. And Big Dick says, it's not, because when I'm with my family, work doesn't exist. And Logan says, I think my father has a similar philosophy. Yeah, of course, he's a murderer. So yeah, like rimshot, which dark joke, but rimshot.
Oh,
okay.
Gosh. Oh, no. Okay, Gabrielle, what was yours?
So mine is also a fandom favorite, I think, and it's Logan to Veronica after she walks out of Duncan's presidential suite at the Neptune Grand, and he says, FYI, if cuddling was the best part, he didn't do it right. I can't even say anything more. It's just that excellent.
Can't do it. Mitch, your favorite line?
Then my favorite line of episode 202 was perhaps even funnier than the first one. It was when the convenience store worker was talking to Veronica about what he would do before he died. And he said, you know, I'd want to eat something on the brink of extinction, you know, like the last emu or a meerkat. I bet they'd go down smooth. And I was like, oh, that's gold.
Oh, so good. Okay, so that was our favorite scenes, favorite lines. And before we go, we're going to get to a little bit of listener feedback. I believe Mitch has the first one here.
So our first listener feedback comes from Monica, who said, hopefully you Logan lovers will enjoy his season 2 story arc. Just bear with him a bit in the beginning. And I'm going to because I am not a fan of what's going on so far. So thank you, Monica, for reassuring me.
Logan lovers, you will enjoy it. I can definitely vouch for Monica there.
Oh, so, I love him now.
Caitlin. yeah? Well, then you'll love him even more.
Yay! our second piece of feedback comes from Allie, and she says, I love the snarky recaps so much. Seriously about Cuba, how does Duncan manage to travel with an international passport and clearly no accent or ability to speak another language? No customs agent would buy that. And I say, TV logic?
Question mark? Yeah, no.
Indeed. As we've assumed, definitely TV logic.
It has to be. There's no other rationale for that at all. But we agree, Allie, it's ridiculous. All right. So if you want to get in touch with us, which you really should because we want to get in touch with you guys. We want to hear what you're thinking. You can email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can tweet us @re_watchable, super simple, or you can comment on this post on hypeable.com. If you do, we will most likely comment up it. We want to start conversations with you. So let us know what you're thinking, whether you're a newbie or a huge super fan. Come talk to us, please. And thank you. And if you like us enough, leave us a review on iTunes so other people can find us, enjoy us, and talk to us too. And join our little community of marshmallows and new marshmallows. So that's about it. That's all we have for you today. And so we will see you next time. I'm Danielle.
I'm Caitlin.
I'm Gabrielle.
And we will see you later. Bye, guys.
Bye.